What no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined. What God has prepared for those who love him.
Are y'all ready to praise the Lord and get this word this morning? Hallelujah. Come on, can we just bless God just a little bit more right quick? Hallelujah. Listen, we just want to give one big shout out to our senior leader, Pastor Eben Connor. Come on, make it big. Make it big. Come on. Hallelujah. And first ladies in the house. You know, they're talking about that honor piece, you know, but it's hard to honor God when you don't honor senior leadership. You got to do both. Somebody say do both. Amen. So Pastor Eben, I know you're doing your thing today, but we love you down here in this home church. And I just have to do a pastoral push because that survey is going to be amazing. God is allowing us to grow. And I like how P.E. said it, grow with the flow. God is doing something in this season. And so we need you to take that survey. Take it one time and be honest. Be honest, whatever that service is. But it's a beautiful thing to see Word of Truth going to the next level. Somebody say next level. Hallelujah. So I just want to go ahead and get into this word. Were y'all blessed last week? Hallelujah. I feel like God is doing something in this season. And like I told you last week, God gave me this word and he was telling me to tell his people that I'm about to take them beyond. And this is not just something clever. It's not something poetic. It's not something I had in the archive. It's not ironic that Pastor Eben just told me, I want you to take two Sundays in a row because that doesn't happen that much. And I knew that it was God speaking. And so if you see me passionate today, it's because I know that this is a word that God wants to get to you. God doesn't care about the vessel. It's not about vessels like this. It's not about who's giving it. He cares so much about you that he'll use a donkey to speak to you. He cares so much about you that he'll feed you from ravens. He cares so much about you, he'll put a coin in a fish mouth because he loves his son and he loves his daughter so much that he will send a word that will shift everything in their life if they will receive it. And I just want to know, do you want to receive this word this morning? Amen. So listen, let's go into our Bibles today. Man, I'm so excited about what God is about to do in this place. We're going to Mark 5, and I'm going to read from the King James Version today. I'm going old school King James Version, okay? Mark 5, verse 25 says, and a certain woman, some of you already know where I'm going, which had an issue of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Somebody shout when. Say when. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straightway, or another word of saying that is immediately, the foundation of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But when the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came down and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I want to take my topic today from verse 27. It says, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press and touched his garment. The key word is when. Today I want to preach the second part of the series, Beyond the Moment. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Oh, wake yourself up right now. Come on, say, neighbor. Can you see beyond the moment? Woo! Come on, somebody put your hands together for God. You see, I know that you got your vision back last week. I felt it. I sensed it in the spirit. And I want you to understand that when you get your vision back, the enemy is not happy about that. For so long, he fought your vision. He tried to steal your vision, kill your vision, destroy your vision. But last week, I believe some of us got it back. But just because you got it back, if you think you're going to just skip into the promised land, if you think that last Sunday was good enough for you just to skip on through this year and just make it come to pass, I want to be the bearer of bad news. That don't happen that way. Oh, no, 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 no. You just don't get one word and think the enemy's just going to let you be free. You don't get one word and you just think the enemy just going to let your house flourish. You just don't get one word and you think the enemy just going to sit back and suck his thumb because you got your vision back. Are you crazy? And one of the things about the enemy is when he knows that you got your vision back and now you are certain and now you are locked in and now you are focused, he understands that his only other method to get you out of destiny is to cause division. You see, when he understands that you got vision, he's like, I can't stop you now. So now I got to cause division. Look at your neighbor and say, division. This is one of the weapons of the enemy. The enemy is wanting to use division. He will use division between good people. You were friends for a long time, but now all of a sudden something starts coming up and you feel some kind of way. I feel some kind of way. And then now I'm looking at you funny. You looking at me funny because he understands if he can't steal, kill and destroy your vision, he wants to use you to discourage someone else's vision. And now I'm going to put division in between two good believers, because if two or three are gathered together in my name, he says, I'll be in the midst. But here is where the enemy wants to do. He wants to cause division. Look at our nation right now, division. Look at our church right now, division. Look at our homes right now, division. Look at our friendships right now, division. And what he wants to do is divide and conquer. See, he isn't happy that you got your vision back. He big mad. And so if he's big mad, if he's big man that you got your hope back, if he's big man that you got your joy back, he's big man you got your voice back. But now that you got your voice, you got to look out for his tactic. He's coming with division. And so watch this. And when the enemy cannot get you to divide from each other, he will make you have division within you. For the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And some of the biggest division that I've seen in the body of Christ is within ourselves. We are not fully convinced of what God said about us. We are not fully convinced about what God is about to do in this next season. And what he wants to do is to have you in a double-minded state. The word double-minded in the Bible comes from this word in the Greek called disoukos. It's to literally have two opinions. You have two opinions about something that God has already spoke about. One part of you believe in the vision. The other part of you is like, well, that happened for everyone else, not me. One part of you believe in the vision, but then the other part of you is saying, but it don't happen for people my skin color. I'm coming down the lane today. I gotta finish this off right. You see, you believe in the vision on this end, but you say, my gender holds me back. My age is the thing that's going to stop me from getting this thing to pass. But you have to be fully convinced in your knowing. You gotta know that you know that you know that God, you called me to this place and you're gonna do exactly what you said you was gonna do. Somebody shout vision. And so you have to understand that if he can't divide you from each other, he would divide you from you. And this brings me to the woman in the text. I don't know if you've seen it this way, but I want you to see this. The woman with the issue of blood was fully convinced that if she could touch, fully convinced, she was not hoping. She was not wishing. She wasn't even praying. She made up in her mind that if I could just touch. She did not doubt within herself on what she needed to do. The if and the contingency was if I can just get to him. The complication was not within. The complication was on the mission. I need to get to him. So if I can just get to him, I know what will happen if I get to him. And see, that's what happens sometimes with church. You need to make up in your mind if I can just get the service. I know God got a word through Pastor Eben that's going to free my life. That's going to free my finances. That's going to free my home. That's going to free my... I don't doubt what's going to happen when I get there. I'm just got to find a way to. Oh, she was fully convinced within herself. I got a question for you. Are you convinced in the vision? No, look at your neighbor and say, are you fully convinced? Cause don't have us up in here shouting and jumping and I'm talking to my neighbor and you still over there like doubting Thomas. Are you fully convinced? Do you still believe that he heals? Do you still believe that he's a provider? Do you still believe he's a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness? Do you still believe? Are you convinced? Or are you wasting our time this morning by coming in here, singing a couple of songs, and going back home saying, I did my job? No, are you convinced that if God said it, he's gonna make it good? I don't care what the enemy has said over your life. God's word is stronger. God's word is bigger. God's word is better. Are you fully convinced? Because if you are convinced, it can't be head knowledge only. This is not a test about how much you know. This is not a cerebral battle. If you believe, actions must be next. Don't tell me you believe. Show me. Don't talk about what he can do. Show me you believe in what he can do. And sometimes showing means drying them tears in the midst of your pain and saying, yes, it hurts. Yes, I'm wounded. I don't understand this season, but I trust you. Oh, I don't understand what you're doing right now, but I trust you. Because faith is knowing who God is, but trust is putting that faith to action. And so, the Lord was giving me this word. And so I want to say this because we got some Bible scholars out here, and I want you to understand that we can exegete the text and talk about the woman, and we can do this whole text. We can do it. But God did not assign me with that because he gave me a prophetic word. And the prophetic word he gave me, he says, I want you to use the woman with the issue of blood as the backdrop so they can see exactly what I'm saying. So can we use this woman as the backdrop and not exegete the text from that perspective? Do y'all understand? Okay, so what we're about to do, God showed me, he says, I want to send my people through three phases. Somebody say three phases. Today, I'm going to try my best to get us through all three. I just need your help right quick. Number one, somebody say phase one is position. Ooh. Pastor Lisa was all up in my little message and share. She was up here shaking the foundation, and I looked at Pastor Sharp and said, she all in my message. Done dipped her whole toe up in the message. But I come to finish it on off. How about that? Somebody shout position. God told me to tell the church to get back in position. It is time to get back in position. If you are a prayer warrior, I need you praying. If you're an intercessor, I need you interceding. If you got a true group, I need you to lock back in on your true group and get back in position. This is not the time to be on the sideline. This is not the time to be looking in the stands and critiquing everything else. God is calling you to get back in position. There's something for you to do in the kingdom of God. And if you got your vision back, it's time to put some action to that vision. Look at your neighbor and say, get in the game, get in the game. Get in the game. Get in the game. He did not call you here to sit down. He did not call you here to sit here and eat. He called you to put your hands to the plow. He called you to pick up something and to do something great for the kingdom of God. And now that you got your vision back, you already know where you need to serve, what you need to do, how you need to do it. Get your vision back, but now put some action to it. Shout, get in the game. Woo! Because some of us are in the place, but we're not in the right place. Some of us are in the place, but we're not in the right place. Okay, another way of saying it is, some of us are in the arena, but we're not in our designated area. It's no good if Dak Prescott is in the stands. He's in the arena. He in the arena, but he's not in his designated area. And that's what happens. We have some Dak Prescotts that's in the arena. But you're not down there saying, down said, you're not in your place. And God is saying, if this church is going to go to the next level, if you are going to go to the next level, it's not good enough for you to be in the arena. God is calling you to get in your designated area. This is your sign. This is your warning. This is your call. This is your confirmation. I got to get back in position. Somebody shout position. Just sitting on gifts, sitting on talent, sitting on administrative skills that the church could use, that Pastor Ebby can lean on, sitting on it. Some of you can write books. Some of you can write songs. Some of you have a voice that you haven't sung in a long time. Some of you have people, person skills, and you just know how to make people feel loved. The usher team needs you. True Kids needs you. Elevate needs you. There are places for you to serve because I'm telling you right now, God is calling you to get back in the game. Now, I need you to understand something. It is selfish of you to not be in position. Oh, I want to give you a different perspective this morning. It's actually selfish of you to not be in position. Somebody say how? Okay, watch this. I need you to use your imagination because I don't have no props for you. But we're going to tap into that little girl, that little boy inside of you when you used to play with the G.I. Joe men. And you only had a couple of them, but I promise you, it was a real situation going on down there. Imagine I have a whole bunch of dominoes lined up right here. And this hand right here is the hand of God, the move of God. And he taps the first domino, which would be Pastor Eben. And then all of a sudden, all the dominoes just start. Woo! That's a good thing, right? But watch this. It is selfish of you to get out of position. Because line another set of dominoes up, and the hand of God touches the first one. But when it gets to you, whoop! You get out of position. Not only do you miss what God had for you, but you caused everybody else that's behind you to miss out on what God is doing. It's selfish of you not to be in position. Somebody's daughter is relying on you to be in position. Somebody's counting on you to be in position. Look at your neighbor and say, stay in position. Woo! Because the enemy knows when you get out of position, you put a gap between you and the next person. Y'all gonna get this word today? Woo! It's selfish when you're not in position. Because watch this. When you make the vision all about you, it's not a kingdom vision. When the vision is about how you feel, how you think, what you want to do, when you want to do it, that is a selfish vision. And God is not obligated to fulfill a selfish vision. Oh, I know we shouted last week. I get it. But now let's bring some clarity to this, baby. He is not obligated to fulfill your own selfish vision. The vision has to be greater than you. It's greater than me. It's greater than you. And this is why the spirit of offense comes up in the church. Because the enemy knows that if I can get just one domino out of place, watch this. If I can put one space between two sisters that were supposed to be praying together, if I can put space between two brothers that's supposed to have each other's back, if I can put space in between a couple that's supposed to be a power couple, but they being petty right now, I know I'm up in here and I'm going to walk and stand on these 10 toes that I got. I'm telling you right now, if the enemy could put space, a gap between the body of Christ, then the enemy knows I can divide and I can conquer. I'm speaking right now that God is even calling some of you to repentance to each other. You ain't got to do it right now, but I'm telling you, you're going to have to run up to your sister and say, the enemy had me tricked. He had me fooled. He made me think you was against me. Because you don't understand, when Pastor Evan gets blessed, I just want to be in position. And some of us are getting... Some of us are getting out of position thinking it's only happening to one man, one family. Can I just correct your thinking? When the first family gets blessed, I'm in line. Oh, I'm staying right here. You can get out of line if you want to, but the blessing gonna hit me and I'm gonna make sure that I do my job to hit somebody else. So when God brings him up, He bringing me up. When God brings him up, he's bringing my family up. Woo! Somebody give God a shout of praise. I need you to understand. I need you to win. I want you to win. You actually gotta win. Because when you win, I win. And when I win, you win. And when we win, they win. And God is saying, I'm calling word to shoot to the next level. And I want all of us to win, but we gotta get in position. If God's gonna make our pastor a billionaire, what you think he gonna make us? 15 of y'all got it. That's okay. I'll take your portion too. Because watch this. When some people get out of position, it's up to the next person to close the gap. Oh, I feel it in here. Oh, I feel it in here. And God is calling us to close the gap. Somebody get out of line, step up. Somebody don't want to serve, step up. If somebody get out of place, step up. Oh, they can get out of place if they want to, but there are people behind us that need this word, that need this fellowship, that need this anointing. Step up. My God, I gotta move on. We got two more phases to go to. Somebody say position. See, when you get back into position, your appetite changes. When you get back into position, your appetite starts to change. You're not waiting on gossip calls. You waking up on Wednesday for prayer calls. Oh, you stop all that foolishness. You stop that because your appetite changed. You see, some of your girlfriends right now have been trying to get you to go back to the club, but you like, nah, girl, I'm in position. Cause my husband's show ain't there. Some of you brothers, they've been asking you to go out for drinks. Nah, I'm good, bro. What I need, I gotta get in position. I can't settle for that. I can't go down to that. I'm in position. If I'm gonna get married, I gotta be in position. If I'm gonna get the blessing, I gotta be in position. And you can get out of position if you want, but I'm gonna close the gap. So now, we still in phase one, but how do I get in position, Pastor Polo? Somebody shout preparation. Oh my God. And the best example that I can give to you about preparation is Noah. When God told Noah to build the ark, I need for you to understand that Noah had to build in a season that was dry. I'm coming for you. He had to build in a season that was dry. And here's the thing. Some of us, we complain about the dry season. You complain about your DMs being dry. You complain about your social life being dry. You complain about your ministry chances to being dry. Can I tell you, in a dry season, that's the moment you're supposed to pick up your hammer and supposed to pick up your nails and supposed to pick up the wood and start getting to work. While everything's dry, I'm working. While everything's wrong, I'm working. I'm getting this thing together. God gave me a vision, so I'm working the vision in a dry season. Look at your neighbor and say, maximize the dry season. Your season is dry on purpose. God is giving you a chance to work on your anger. God is giving you a chance to work on that bad attitude. God is giving you a chance to work on the things that he's dealing with you in private. So while you're in the privacy of your home, work on it. Woo! In other words, I need you to understand, when the rain starts coming, it's too late to start building. Where my church at up in here? I said when the rain starts coming, it's too late to pick up the hammer then. You can't say you got faith if you don't maximize the dry season. Pick your hammer up and get to work. God's got something to do. Start writing the book, although you ain't got the deal. Write the song, although you ain't got the deal. Do what you're supposed to do. Somebody say this right here. You need to work on what he told you to work out when nothing is working. I want that to hit your spirit. You need to work on what he told you to work out while nothing else is working. What if the delay was divine? What if the dry season was divine? What if you were meant to be by yourself in this season? What if God was removing all of the distractions because he wanted you to himself? Moses, how will you ever see the burning bush if you're around people? Is this too heavy? Your life is dry on purpose. Your phone is dry on purpose. Your love life is dry. See, y'all don't want to shout on that. But when I was talking about the vision last week, oh, we up here just shouting, running all around. But what, can you shout when God has you in a dry season on purpose? Do you trust him in the dry season? When nothing else is coming for you. Somebody say, work on it. Oh, work on it, work on it, work on it, work on it, work on it. You know that thing you need to work on. Work on it, work on it. Them lustful desires, work on it, work on it, work on it. That mind, it just takes you everywhere. Work on it, work on it. Suppress that thing. Kill that thing. Grapple that thing. Make sure you fix the thing that God is telling you to fix. Work on it. And my prayer for you is that you work on it through this dry season. Because God told me he's about to make it rain. Oh, you think the church just going to three services just to go to three services? Nah, God is about to make it rain. And something in your spirit got to start sensing that word of truth has shifted. That word of truth has changed. There's a new season here. You just heard about it Friday night. There's a new season. There's a new anointing on Pastor Evan. There's a new anointing that's coming from the head down to the beard, down to the skirt. And I don't want to be out of position. Oh my God. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Work on it, work on it, because he's about to make it rain. It's about to rain on your home. It's about to rain on your finances. It's about to rain on your body. It's about to rain on your mind. It's about to rain on your son. It's about to rain on your daughter. Work on it, work on it, because it's about to rain. Somebody say, make it rain, God. Woo!
Y'all just be seated. I'm not trying to be excited today. Because I got to give the word that God gave. But I feel that thing. He's about to make it rain. Y'all see how I'm trying to keep myself calm? I don't want to scream this morning. I want to make sure you get it. Number two, how do you prepare? Somebody say consecration. It's time to set yourself apart. I need y'all to hear this. The Lord told me to say, tell my people to set themselves apart. There's a reason why your spirit is craving more of God and less of you. Go with the flow. Because God is trying to consecrate you by setting you apart. What if what you may call rejection, God may be calling consecration? Oh, I done heard the beautiful quotes about rejection is redirection. I like that. Rejection is protection. I like that. But what if rejection is consecration? What if God was using man to push you in a place of isolation so he can have a visitation with you? But we're not maximizing the rejection. The rejection was putting me in position so I can be with the only one who's ever loved me. The only one who always look out for me. The only one who knows my trouble. The only one who knows my problems. The only one that doesn't judge me when I'm wrong. The only one who...
What if rejection was God's way of leading you into consecration? But if you don't maximize the moment of that rejection, you'll miss the moment that God has for you. Woo! I got a question for you. What if David decided, I'm sick of Jesse and his boys always making me do the dirty work? I just wonder what would have happened if David would have got out of position. What if that day when God told Samuel, I want you to go to Jesse's house. What if that was the day that David says, I'm sick of this church. Oh, I'm coming for your thoughts. What if that was the day that David says, I'm going to leave these sheep right here. Do your thing, sheep. I'm about to take a break. Then he would have been out of position when Samuel was coming with the oil. And I come to say prophetically, Samuel is coming with the oil. Samuel is coming with the oil. Samuel is coming with the oil. You've been abused, ostracized, criticized, left for dead. But Samuel is coming with the oil. And you need to be with the sheep. I don't care if the job looks bad. I don't care if you've been hated on. You need to be in your rightful position. Because if David would have got out of position, he would have missed the next position. 10 of y'all got it. If he would have been out of position, he would have missed his next position. And the devil's been trying to get some of you out of position. Because God's got another position for you. But you don't get the next position if you get out of position in this position. And God is trying to get me to see if you understand that will you be obedient to what he has called you to do? Lord Jesus, I'm not going to finish this. And the last one is going to be alignment. You have to allow the Lord to align your life. Align your friends, align everything about you, align your thoughts. Make your thoughts obedient to Christ. But God, I gotta rush this through. So somebody shout phase two. Phase two is pursue. This woman was not only in position to touch Jesus, but she had to pursue Jesus. Now hear me. We're not pursuing vision. Because you can make the vision the idol. Oh, I can't get no shouts today, but it's okay. We're not pursuing the vision. We're pursuing Jesus. And when we seek ye first the kingdom and all his righteousness, then all these other visions will come to pass. And what I'm trying to get you to see is that we are supposed to be pursuing Jesus. When people see us, are they seeing us pursue the thing or the king? And just because we know the vision and just because we know the king, let me tell you something. Knowing the king ain't good enough, because faith without works, being in position without pursuing, it's dead. Thomas Edison says something like this. He says, a vision without execution is hallucination. And we got a bunch of Christians just hallucinating. Sitting in church, hallucinating. Every week, just hallucinating. Because you got vision without execution. But God is telling me to tell you, you got to put that thing to work. You got to start pursuing Jesus in this season like never before. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me. Watch this. When you seek me with all of your heart. This woman entered phase two and she began to seek Jesus. You see, in the past, she was seeking men to heal her when God was like, I was there all the time. So in one season, you have given all your love, attention, and affection to a person when Jesus is saying, I want you to seek me for who I am. Y'all, I feel the Lord doing something different in here. So play something softly for me, Manny. God told me to tell you, he still got 51 days to do it. He still got 51 days to bring it to pass. Some of you women came to this vision board meeting in January. Are you still looking at your boy? Because this woman got in position. This woman started pursuing Jesus. In phase 3, this woman pressed. And for some reason in this service, I feel like the press looks different for you. This isn't a press that is energetic. This press is, I gotta do it again. I'm tired, Pastor Paulo. I'm tired. I can literally hear a man say right now, I'm tired of trying to be the father to someone who don't want me to father them. You're tired. I'm tired of praying for my children. It looks like my prayers are not working. Every time I give to this person, they take from me. Every time I trust an organization, they do me dirty. I'm tired. You see, when you lose blood like that, you get weak. But God told me to tell you, if you can see beyond the moment of pain, if you can see beyond the moment of being ostracized, if you can see beyond the moment of being rejected by your children, your family, your parents, if you can see beyond this moment and just step into phase 3 and press. And pressing for some of you looks like living another day. Trying one more time. Making yourself vulnerable one more time. I can hear you say, I can't take another heartbreak. But what if God is sending the right person the next time? And he's trying to get you beyond this moment of pain. This moment of fear, this moment of rejection, this moment of whatever you're in. I feel God in this place right now. Can you feel him? Come on, look at your neighbor and say, press. Press. I know you've been in the game for a long time, but press. Hold on to your belief in God. Hold on to what he spoke over your life. Press, press, press. Sometimes pressing means going to therapy when you don't want to go to therapy. Press, press. Sometimes God is telling you to press by picking up your pen and starting a book when you don't know the title of it. Just start writing. Just start writing and press and press. God gave you specific instructions, but can you just press through the crowd? Because if you can press beyond this moment, you're going to see what God has on the other side of this moment. Were you blessed by the word this morning? Woo! Can you see beyond this moment? Can you see beyond this moment? Can you see beyond this moment? I just want to give you 30 seconds to just close your eyes and just get your faith back and say, God, I see beyond this moment. I see beyond this pain. I see beyond this season. My heart is broken, but I see it. I still see it. I see it, and I'm pressing. I'm pressing. I'll give you a sacrifice of praise. I'll give you a sacrifice of praise. I'll give you a sacrifice of praise. I'm pressing. I'm pressing. My son is sick. My daughter is sick, but I'm pressing. I'm pressing towards the mark. Right now, if there's anyone in here who want to give their life to Christ, 'cause some of you